The Burrito Radio Show is brought to you by 2B1 Entertainment.
For those in search for inner peace, stop by Sacred Sun, Essentials for Life Balance. Just a short walk from the La Mesa Trolley. Visit us at 8239 La Mesa Boulevard or call us at 619-467-7073 for more details. We're open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesdays through Saturdays, and we hope to see you soon.
B1 has a game called None is Perfect Billiards. It is a game based on points, stroke play, pretty much. You get to find out what your score would be in comparison to the pros. It's one of the better games that's out there, and it's new and fresh for the 21st century. If you'd like to be on the players list or participate in one of the games or videos, contact None is Perfect Billiards at nipbilliards@gmail.com. Get on the players list and take part in the fun today. This is 2B1 Energy for the Burrito Tour Radio Show. Welcome to another episode, and we have a very lovely guest on today. She goes by the name of Viva, actually born and raised in San Diego, California. Hey, welcome to the show, Viva.
Thank you, 2B1. I'm really excited to be here. I'm excited for our conversation.
Nice. Now, what's so strange is we haven't really known each other that long. We actually just met recently in Ocean Beach. Give me your impression of, first of all, on our meeting. I mean, what made you attracted to be a part of the Burrito Radio Show?
Mm-hmm. We actually met each other, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and you just came up and started talking to me, and it was good energy from the start. I felt very comfortable around you. I feel like I'm not the most open person, so for me to feel comfortable with someone I just met is a good sign for me. And then right off the bat, you told me about your podcast show, and I thought that was amazing. I, first of all, love listening to podcasts. Secondly, love supporting local artists and businesses. And third, I actually wanted to do my own podcast, or something I've kind of thought about. So to network and connect with you, I think was definitely divine intervention right there. So I'm super excited.
Okay, so what kind of podcast would you want to put on?
That's a great question. That's actually why I haven't started one myself. I don't know if there's like a particular thing that I would want to talk about. I feel like I am a very multifaceted person. I have my hand in like a bunch of different jars at once. So I think
okay. So before we go into that, let's go into a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background. Now, you were born and raised in San Diego?
Yeah, I've lived here a majority of my life. I've left for like a year or a few months at a time, but I always end up back here.
And what high school did you graduate from?
I graduated from Helix High School over in La Mesa in 2017.
Fantastic. Great school, by the way. And you decided not to go to college, or did you do some college as well?
So I went to UC Santa Cruz for my first year of college. I wish the timing for that was right, because looking back, I think I really would have appreciated what was being offered to me there now, where I am in my life now. But at the time, I think I was very resistant to it. I wasn't open to learn what was being given to me there. So I came home, I went to community college for about 2.5 years up until COVID hit. And then COVID hit, and of course, you know, COVID messed up everything, as we all know. So I stopped going once COVID hit. And
changed the game plan.
Yeah, exactly. So I would love to go back to school. It's kind of in the works right now, but I'm just kind of weighing out my options to see what my next step is personally.
Now, okay, so you haven't really been on this earth too long, in accordance to, let's say, my friend who's 100 something years old, right? Mm-hmm. And so being that, I know that when I asked you to write a little something, you put down a lot about spirituality and the path. Were you always a spiritual child growing up?
You know, I think that we all come into this earth connected, deeply connected to spirit. And I think it's our upbringing and our experiences that, and a lot of, you know, societal aspects that kind of cut that cord with spirit as we get older. So I was raised actually Catholic in a Mexican family. So it was very traditional. And in my opinion, it was a bit closed off to other avenues of spirituality.
It was a traditional Catholic upbringing that they try to put you through.
Yeah, definitely. And I respect that. I've learned a lot from that upbringing as well. And I still hold a lot of Catholic teachings and beliefs. You know, my tradition's close to my heart as well, but it's expanded beyond that as I get older. So I kind of started creating my own path and digging into other avenues when I was like 14 or 15.
And what set you on that path? I mean, one minute you're going through Catholicism and the next minute you're going making a transformation. Was it somebody that you met, a book that you read? Was it a song that you heard?
I think it was growing up. I don't think Catholicism made a lot of sense to me. Just strictly Catholicism. I think that there are teachings that I was able to learn from, but it didn't, trying to put all these pieces together, it didn't fit for me.
You had a lot of questions. You had a lot of questions that couldn't be answered.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what it was. And so I knew that there was more for me to set out for. So the first thing that really drew me to, I guess, like a more spiritual open path was actually crystals.
Oh, so like the actual physical, beautiful rocks that are out there that carry this type of energetic form.
Yeah, exactly. So I got super into crystals and started kind of, people would gift them to me or I would just stumble across them. My dad would find like geodes in the backyard and crack them open. And it just like, it astonished me how Mother Nature could create such a beautiful, like mesmerizing masterpiece. And so I started to kind of look into them and I realized that these crystals are more than just rocks. Like they hold energies and they have certain, you know, properties to each of them. And so I got super into that and it led me more towards this holistic path, which of course, I think the first thing that most people fall into or feel drawn towards when they get into spirituality or a holistic path is Buddhism. So I started to get into Buddhism around 15 or 16. I read a book called Buddhism for Beginners, and it was by a female monk, which I'm not sure if the female monks are called the same thing. Are they also monks?
I'm not really sure. I'm not a Buddhist, but I did read a little bit about it. I haven't met too many women that are monks, though. I mean,
lie. Okay. Well, I mean, forgive me if that's not the correct term, but it was written by a female Buddhist.
They can be Buddhist. That's really, I don't know about being a monk, though.
Yeah, I don't know if she was called a monk, but she wore like the orange drape over like on her body, and I don't know I'm sorry, I don't know the correct terminology.
Well, it's okay, don't say sorry. Everybody's still learning, Viva. Everybody's still learning.
Yeah,
trust.
Yes. But to answer your question, I was drawn to crystals, and then it led me over to Buddhism, and then that just kind of opened all these different doors for me, and now I'm just wanting to learn everything I can get my hands on.
So you started doing yoga when you started getting into Buddhism?
I did. So I didn't start getting into yoga until college. So my first year of college in Santa Cruz, they offered a free yoga class. So I went to that, and that I think that was my first experience with yoga. And I think, that was the first time I really understood why people were so drawn to yoga. It was the first time I felt really in tune with my body and grounded and calm. You know, I was always a really stressed person since I was little, and yoga really showed me that there are avenues that I can take to kind of decompress.
When you say stress, you know, you're talking about just regular growing up stress, not necessarily family stress?
For me, in all honesty, I think I grew up in a very chaotic environment. It was a lot of, you know, jumping around from house to house to house. If I wasn't with my parents, I was with my grandparents, and there was a lot of tension surrounding my childhood. So I think I was always kind of in that fight or flight mode since a very, very young age. And I just kind of carried that with me until I realized there are things that I could do about it, you know. And it wasn't until my later teen years, like I said, when I got into yoga for a little bit, or, you know, when I really started to learn about spirituality and changing my mindset, that I realized that I could kind of let that tension and stress go.
So you were going through things that the average teenager doesn't go through.
You know, unfortunately, I think it's stuff like that is a lot more common for teenagers nowadays than maybe it used to be. But yeah, I would definitely say they are things that I should not have been subjected to at a young age.
That's funny that you say that it's a little bit more common. I guess there's starting to be a crew of people in a more, I guess, more so than often that have to go through things like this. And mm-hmm. when you come across somebody that else is going through it, at least you know you're not the only one.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you know, these are things I've talked about with like my friends and my, like, I don't know, people my age. It's like anybody you talk to, we're all going to have our traumas. We're all going to have our wounds and our shadows that we got to deal with or that we had to go through growing up. But I think it's a matter of how you recover from them versus, you know, using those to hold you down, using them as your shackles.
Right. And so this definitely had an influence on questioning, I guess, some of the things that you were being taught about Catholicism in contrast to the way things work. And so finding the Buddhism, finding the yoga, and even like a college experience put you on a path of where you are today.
Yeah, definitely. And those are all just small aspects of it. You know, I think I've always been, like I said, a very curious and open-minded person, especially, you know, as a kid and from a younger age, I always question things. So, you know, I'm not that deep into yoga and I'm not that deep into Buddhism, but they are definitely stepping stones to the path that I've built myself so far when it comes to my spirituality.
You know, okay, I'm gonna give you a little insight, but we're gonna take a quick short break and we're gonna come back and talk a little bit more about spirituality. I feel like sometimes it gets overused and sometimes people use it the wrong way. Sometimes it starts to become like a bland message because of the way things are. So we're gonna take a short break. We're with Viva on the Burrito Radio Show.
For over 100 years, San Diego Shade has been covering windows all over San Diego County. Whether you want roller shades, cellular shades, shutters, you're looking for an automated awning to go over your patio, you want some exterior roller shades to block the sun out, we're the company to go to. We're located conveniently in Miramar area at 7354 Trade Street. You can reach us on the phone at 619-287-8863. You can also check out our website at sandiegoshade.com. I look forward to covering your windows soon.
Having troubles with your electronic products, including your cell phone, or maybe it's your laptop? Well, the Nerd Repair Center, located on Elkhorn Boulevard, can help you out. Give them a call at 619-363-4210.
They're located at 3829 Elkhorn Boulevard. Their hours of operation are Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
You are listening to the Burrito Radio Show.
Create, connect, ascend. That's essentially what Violet Funk Creations is all about. And my name is Alyssa. I started Violet Funk. And what we essentially do is make jewelry, paint, do art on clothes, and our Instagram is Violet Funk Creations.
Have you ever wondered how the pedicab industry got started? You know, the guys and gals that travel people around town? Well, purchase the book Pedicab Hearsay, available on Amazon.com, both electronic and hard copy. Get the stories today.
She's what they call a homegrown local child out here in Sunnyvale, San Diego, California. Viva, being in San Diego, what are some of your favorite places out here to venture to? In San Diego County, anywhere in the county?
Mm. Yeah. Oh, that's a great question. I have always loved OB, actually, and I feel like a lot of people say that, but growing up, my mom took me to OB a lot, and like it was like one of her dreams to get married at Sunset Cliff, so like we were
so Ocean Beach
there.
We're talking about Ocean Beach in San Diego, just kidding.
Yeah. Ocean Beach, I think it has its own unique vibe to it that you really don't find in a lot of other places in San Diego. So I love it down there for sure. And anywhere that I can sit under like a shady tree in the grass, I can get down with that.
So anywhere with a shady tree.
Yeah, honestly, in San Diego, it's not hard to find a spot to just kick it and relax in the sun. So it's hard to really pinpoint one or two spots, but I would definitely say Ocean Beach has a really special place in my heart.
Any other places?
Let me see. Not that I can think of right off the bat.
Okay, what about if you had to say what's some of your favorite things to do out here in San Diego, what would that be?
Ooh, some of my favorite things to do. I mean, I am such a beach girl. I love going to the beach and just sticking my toes in the sand. Aside from Ocean Beach, I think probably, I don't know. I do like PB. I like the beach part of PB, not so much the town. But anywhere I can stick my toes in the sand and maybe hop in the water, I love.
So you like walking on the beach and you like kind of laying out in the sun?
Yeah, I love being outside. And like here, it's kind of hard to, like in San Diego County, it's hard to find like forests and like big trees. So if I can't be in the forest, then I'm going to be at the beach.
Right. Now, I see you probably like, I noticed you do a little bit of artwork on your Instagram. I guess you like to do a little bit of artwork as well, right?
Yes, I do. I dabble in the arts. Lately, it's been a lot of painting, but I've done photography in the past. I have done singing and dancing as well. So
really?
It's crazy. Yeah. It's actually crazy because music has like, oh my God, music is like the love of my life. Like nothing burns a fire in my heart the way that music does, but I do not know yet how to make my own music. So until I can really get on that path and kind of learn the details of how to express
myself. I didn't know that you sing. What do you like to sing?
Oh, I sing anything. I mean, I don't care. Even if I sound bad, I'll sing anything. But R&B has a really special place in my heart. And then also, like, I love jazz and, like, old school, like, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, like, now modernized, like, Michael Bublé. I love stuff like that.
So do you feel like one day you want to be a singer, or you just do it just because that's what you love, that makes you happy?
I mean, I would love to, like, make my own music and use that as an expression. But, you know, even as a kid, like, as a little girl, I always wanted to be a singer. I guess I never took the steps to make that happen for myself. And there's a lot of other avenues in art, like I said, that I feel very passionate about as well. So if singing doesn't happen for me, that's okay. It's fun for me to do it regardless. But I would love to, like, really get into, I don't know, I guess getting deeper into that and seeing what I can create.
Right. Do you write poetry as well then?
You know, I've tried. I've started so many songs and I just never finished them. I don't know. I think I truly lack confidence when it comes to, like, writing and making music. So I think I'm, like, the biggest thing that holds me back from furthering that or pursuing that.
So you don't want to do a quick song, do you?
Right now?
No, that's okay. You don't have to. So when I met you, I got this sense of power from you, like a little firebug. I noticed that you like to take a lot of pictures. Mm-hmm. Right. And I saw that you like to look at a lot of, like, beauty and, like, the spirituality of life, as well as the human body too. Mm-hmm. And I found that to be kind of, like, you know, and some of your postings, like, give it, like, this realism about real life. You know, it's like walking in a forest and you come across a creature. The creature doesn't care if you're black, white, or nothing. You know what I'm saying? And you just got to handle it. That's how I feel like I came across somebody like that. As far as, like, some of your goals, what kind of goals do you have in the future?
Wow, first of all, thank you. That's, like, such a beautiful description of me that I think I would have never given somebody. But when you said it, I feel like I resonated with that heavily. So I really appreciate that. That's beautiful. Some goals for me, I think, you know, like you said, I'm still really young, and I have recently gone through a lot of shifts within, and of course, you know, being a micro, being a part of the macro, whatever happens within is going to show on your exterior world. So as I shift within, I notice a lot of shifts and changes on my exterior world, and a lot of things that once worked for me are no longer working for me, no matter how hard I might.
Can you give us an example of what you mean by something that once was working other than school?
Sure, yeah. So work is so big for me. Like, I have always been somebody who, you know, the moment I turned 16, I got a job. I've had two jobs, three jobs at a time. Like, I've always been about, like, making money and keeping busy. I love being a working woman. But the work that I used to do, you know, this whole, like, I don't know, I don't want to say 9 to 5, because I could very well find a 9 to 5 that works for me. But it has been so difficult to find a job that I can hold, whether it be like, oh my God, I'm just not happy here, like, this is draining me, or whether it be like, oh, my car, like, randomly broke down and now I just can't work this job. You know, whatever the case may be, whether it be spirit interfering or I just don't like the job, it's been really hard for me to find a job that fulfills me and also provides for me. Do you feel what I'm saying?
Right. I understand. I mean, I can tell you have that hippie spirit.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, how can I say this? You already told, you said that you went to Santa Cruz, right? Mm-hmm. Santa Cruz is known for their hippies. let's see, in 2019, which is only 2 years ago, you were under 21, which means you couldn't even go out. You couldn't even do a lot of things. And the moment you turn 21, that's when COVID hits. Let's talk about the last year and a half, 2 years. Okay. So it's March 16th, March 17th, March 18th, March 19th, depending on what day. How did you look at and bow the lockdown? Did you go on lockdown and follow all the orders and wear the mask and stay 3 feet, 6 feet, or whatever we're saying? Mm-hmm. Did you do all those things and comply?
Okay, so COVID, I've always had mixed feelings about, and it's a very touchy subject. I just want to start off by saying, whatever anybody chooses to do, I respect that. There is no judgment here. For me, when COVID first hit, I complied. I think that it was incredibly new for everybody here. You know, none of us knew what was going on. We've never experienced something like this. So I was all about, you know, take care of yourself, stay home, wear a mask, do what you got to do. Be considerate of other people. It's not just about you, you know, and I still feel that way. But I will say over time, my feelings have definitely ebbed and flowed with the whole process of COVID. And they've changed a lot from the beginning to now, as we're almost, 2 years into COVID. Mm-hmm. But I will say that I think I'm quite the optimist. I find the good in everything. And so I think being in lockdown, while I will acknowledge a lot of tragedy that happened from COVID in general, but especially in the beginning, I think that a lot of beauty came from it. And transitioning into lockdown.
Explain, please. What do you mean a lot of beauty? What kind of beauty you felt came from?
Yeah, so transitioning into lockdown and having to be, I think we were forced to be still, and that's really, really difficult to do, especially in a time of such chaos and uncertainty. It's incredibly difficult to be still, and being in lockdown, that's all we could really do. You know, we could distract ourselves as much as possible by finding a new hobby, or, you know, a lot of people started businesses or reading books, whatever it was that people chose to do with their time. I think it really affected us all personally. And hopefully hopefully we chose to do something beneficial with ourselves during that time. And I think that's where the beauty comes from. You know, a lot of people learned a lot about themselves. A lot of people found new hobbies. A lot of people, you know, finally got that opportunity to stop what they were doing and start that business or research that interest that they had, or, you know, whatever it was, learn something new.
But at the same time, you were on a whole different path. Right before that happened, you were in college, or you were just in college at the community college, right?
Yeah, I was at a community college. I was getting really burnt out in college, and I think it was because I was starting to kind of feel like I had lost a sense of purpose. Like, I didn't want to do what I had originally set out to do. I didn't feel connected to my education like I always had. You know, growing up, school was always very important to me, but I felt more like a pawn in the game. You know, I felt like, oh, these colleges, they're profiting off of me, but I'm not learning anything. I felt like I need help, but I'm not getting the help that I need. Like, no one's checking in on me, no one's noticing, like, hey, I'm not doing well, and there's not much I can do about it. You know, I mean, I think in a little bit of ways, I did victimize myself because I was bitter about the system. But I will also say that there is a system that's a little bit rigged when it comes to the education system. And I started to really recognize that being a college student. And So it kind of, it made me lose my passion for education, because I didn't feel like I was learning. I feel like I was being forced to memorize things and pass tests and follow directions. And I'm not good at any of those things.
Well, not too many people are, actually. Listen, we're gonna take another break, give some shout outs to some people out there. Real quick, I'd like to remind everybody that I'm the band leader of this band called Maturation Soul. Maturation Soul is available for parties and celebrations. So we're going to take a short break. And this is a great conversation we're having with Viva, a local love child from San Diego, California. Mm-hmm.
This is the Poodle Dog Mom
and T-Dog,
and you're listening to the Burrito Radio Show.
Hey, yo, what up, Daytonia, man? I ain't seen you in a bit, boy. How you been?
I'm good, Dre. How about yourself?
Man, I'm fine, but I tell you what, man, you show these lace down with this apparel, man. Where you get this from?
Hey, man, it's that Cash Cow drip, and you already know. But you can go ahead and go to my Instagram page at Cash Cow FP. Go ahead and get the drip.
Man, I'm with it.
Slap.
Hi, this is Terry from Amethyst Moon. We're located at 8329 La Mesa Boulevard. We'd like to remind you that we're open for business and we have new store hours Tuesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. We'll see you soon.
Hey, you guys, we're over here at Marcella June's Coffee Lounge. Our address is 8513 La Mesa Boulevard. We sell herbal medicine and coffee and tea, and we're working on a lot of community projects to get some massage therapy going in with all this. You can reach us at 619-504-9494. We're open Monday through Friday again. Please come on by. Thank you very much.
Fresh food for the fresh body. What goes in fresh comes out healthy. Be sure to visit your local farmer's market, and trust me, you'll feel much better.
I need you to jump on this sucker real quick.
Welcome back to the Burrito Radio Show. This is 2B1 Energy, and we are with Viva. For anybody that doesn't know, in Spanish, that is translates to live, right?
Yes, sir.
Or live, living, live, however you want to call it, right?
Yes. Thank you so much for noticing.
Yeah. So earlier in the first episode, we were talking about, you know, some of these things, like, for example, when you were saying that you weren't Buddhist, you know, you read a bit of it, but, you know, respect it, and you respect Catholicism, and you've done yoga, but you don't consider yourself doing yoga regularly. And I consider this what I call being a spiritual being. So therefore, being a spiritual being, we all have a light inside of us. It might be real dim, it could be really bright. And so the ones that are really bright, that shine bright together, those are called spiritual energies. I kind of keep it simple, because sometimes the words in Catholicism, in Buddhism, in Islam, and all these different text, they want to kind of lead you away to what we really are. We're just spiritual beings, and each one of us has a light inside, and the ones that shine bright together are the spiritual energies. Unfortunately, sometimes you'll have embattlements within these different spiritual energies that come across each other, but that's just life, like you were saying before, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. A spiritual energy doesn't have to be your lover, doesn't have to be your best friend, you know? Best friend is somebody that you connect with that you rarely have any problems with. Could be somebody that gives you advice, you know? It could be your lover, though. It could be somebody. That's my philosophy about spiritual energies. I have a few of them. I feel like what we do is we come up from these soul groups up in the stars, and the soul groups kind of look out after us. And sometimes we come across our soul groups here on Earth. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think a popular term that has been used a lot lately has been soul tribe. And I think that's kind of goes along the lines of what you were talking about. You know, I think we all kind of come down here with a contract, and, you know, we have certain things in our lives, like, all right, I'm going to cross paths with you when I'm about 15 or 16. This is going to happen, and it's going to catapult me into this kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a little bit of a blueprint. I think it's pretty flexible, but I think we come down here with a blueprint or a contract, however you want to call it. So I feel what you're saying, and I agree.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the things that saves people when they're going through hard times, recognizing that they're just a spiritual being. And it's the different types of energies surrounds us that actually lifts us up out of this kind of turmoil type of thought patterns that we go through from time to time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to get back to this COVID thing.
Okay.
And when I get back to the COVID thing, it's important to understand that when you said that you went on lockdown, I didn't go on lockdown. I still did the same stuff I normally do. But my life is kind of simple, so I could do that. So, for example, one of my favorite moments of all the COVID thing was there was this homeless guy sitting in front of Jack in the Box on that same day. They said, okay, everybody go clear out the grocery store. Go get all the food. He don't come out for like a week, 2 weeks. And there's this homeless guy sitting on the Jack in the Box, you know, bench with his handle. And everybody's like, you know, disappearing. And he's just out there drinking away. Just like, yeah, ain't nobody out here telling me what to do, you know? I got a kick out of that. Like when I was walking around and, you know, you got to remember I play guitar. And so I couldn't play guitar for anybody. So I was walking around and I would see the homeless people suffering big time. I mean, suffering more than ever before. Because places like Jack in the Box that they could no longer go in, buy a cup of coffee just so they can use the bathroom and wash up. Or the library, or they couldn't use Starbucks. And they were suffering and their mental capacity just went berserk. And they've been going berserk ever since in some cases. You also have the situation where because there was nobody on the streets, no cars, all the birds, all the crows got brave. All these things started coming out. Like, what? There's no people. What? There's, you know. And it was kind of weird to be out there in that situation where the animals were in control, and there was no humans out there. There was no cars. There was no nothing. And so it became like an eerie type of feeling, like you had to kind of like watch your back of these birds that they automatically could attack you, knowing that you were isolated. It was things like that that kind of like got me. But unfortunately, I was one of those kind of people that also used to do a lot of research on what I call inorganic chemistry. And inorganic chemistry actually is an element that every single industrial society utilizes today, from our cell phones to the things in our cars to Bluetooth, to all this radiation that's out there. And the radiation seeps into our skin, but doesn't filter out. So I read about this back in 2002, 2003. And when I read about that, that set my alarm off. Like, well, then people can get really sick. I mean, super, super sick. I mean, sick, sick, sick. And it was almost like the 666 thing that I started saying to myself, like, oh, they're putting play in pretty soon. But I thought it was going to come in 2006. But I was wrong. Came in 2020. And so, therefore, you know, a lot of people thought I was crazy back then when I kept on saying these radiation is going to make us sick. It's going to make us sick. It's going to make us sick. And instead, they utilized something what I call the Jack move, by stating that it's contagious because there's a lot of prejudiced people out there, racist people that still don't want to be socialized with people of color. And so to me, that's where a lot of people kind of like got caught up into following all these things where they're still getting sick and they can't stop it because it's radiation. It's a neurological situation. And neurologically speaking, if I wouldn't even have known this, it wasn't for COVID. So neurologically, we're talking about our central nervous system and our temporal arteries that are breaking our body, causing our situation to happen. But I'm just a regular human being. I can't really do too much. All I can do is do a podcast. So let me ask you a quick proco quiz about some things. Do you know anything about the central nervous system?
No, honestly, I don't.
Do you know anybody that talks about it, or do you know anybody that might know anything?
No, you.
Okay, what about...
I came to save the day with that one.
Well, the central nervous system is connected to the back of our brain. It's right in the bottom of our neck. You know where our skull sits on top of our spine?
Right. You know, I'm going to be honest, I learned about this in psychology, but I can't say I remember anything. So we're just going to act like I know nothing.
Yeah, so the central nervous system controls our body temperature. It controls our nerves. It controls our thoughts, our decision makings. It sends out all these signals, right? Every type of body movement that person makes, every type of word that they say is through the central nervous system first. And we train ourselves in order to, you know, send signals to talk respectable, to do respectable thing, or the opposite. And so the central nervous system really is so vital. It can have a lot to do with our respiratory system. So, but what's even crazier than that is the temporal artery. Do you know anything about the temporal artery?
I do not.
So, okay, so you know where the temple is located?
Yes.
Okay, so that's where the temporal artery is located. And according to some of these books, it's a major portion of our brain that's also connected to our respiratory system. And it's also could be the reasons why people are getting tumors and having blood clots, because the artery itself is connected to other blood vessels that send out signals through the central nervous system. And so, therefore, if everything we're talking about is in our brain, this has to be a neurological situation. It can't be anything but. And so, if we keep on saying that it's in the air, it's in the droplets, it's in, you know, the surface, we're never going to rid ourselves of all this crazy talk, because people are going to continuously get sick and they're not going to be able to fight it off no matter how many booster shots they get. How many vaccines have you got?
I've gotten none. I've gotten absolutely none. You know, and if people choose to do that, that's 100% okay. If that's what they need to do to feel safe, then by all means, please go do that. But I will say, first of all, I love the scientific meaning you put behind that, because I feel like that is... Oh, my headphones fell out. Okay. That is a lot of stuff that I've kind of thought about when it comes to COVID and it comes to the whole, you know, government involvement with this whole pandemic. But to hear the science behind that, it takes it one step further, you know, because people want to talk about the science with the vaccine and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, well, let's talk about the science behind your thoughts, behind your, you know, like you're saying, your central nervous system, the science behind how the fear that you hold in your body and how that affects your body and how that's going to affect you.
That's through your central nervous system, correct? That's the fear mm-hmm. comes from your central nervous system.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's another one, real quick. Here's another one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what happens when a person is dehydrated?
Your lips get really chapped and you need some aquaphor.
And you have respiratory problems and you're more susceptible to bacteria coming in to cause.
Okay.
And so now let's ask the question, what makes the body dehydrate?
A lack of hydration, also salt can make your body dehydrated.
How about coffee, sodas,
acidic
milk,
things, right?
Juice, mm-hmm. Alcohol, beer, I mean, energy drinks, anything mm-hmm. other than water or electrolytes will make the mm-hmm. body dehydrated. And so therefore, if people are really concerned about health, why would we continuously feed them these dehydration stuff like Starbucks coffee, or why would we leave the liquor stores open?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Why would we let people drink sodas?
You're definitely onto something with that. I mean, I think just look at it like this. You go into the grocery store and there's maybe an aisle or two that's labeled health food. I'm sorry, but you have a whole grocery store and you only have two aisles for health food. What does that tell you about all the other food in the store?
It tells me that the Federal Drug Administration are a bunch of gangsters, and that the lobbyists, the people that control these corporations, they're winning the game because of all the money that they pour in to make sure that these chemicals and these addictive things go into our foods to continuously make us dehydrated bacteria in combination mm-hmm. with the central nervous and system and looking at these machines and radiation, all of it. And so,
yeah.
You know, how many times have you been sick in the past year and a half?
Past year and a half, I caught COVID actually a year ago today, yesterday, I had tested positive for COVID a year
ago. Happy anniversary. What was your symptoms?
Yeah, thank you. I lost my taste and smell, and that's it. I was fine.
So that was probably from the central nervous system breaking your taste system down from probably using a cell phone too much, by not breathing properly.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, but I think I was more susceptible to catching COVID or any other illness because I was not taking care of myself spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and hardly physically. You know, I wasn't eating much. I was in a very stressful relationship. I was at a job that drained me and depleted my energy. I wasn't spending time outside in the sun, you know. I wasn't going to the gym or moving my body. So, of course, something like that's going to happen to me, you know?
You're more susceptible. Yeah, you're more susceptible. But you didn't feel like you were going to die.
No, I was not concerned at all. I mean, me and my whole family, we all tested positive. You know what we did? We chilled here. We did arts and crafts. We made some brownies. Like, we were fine.
I got you. Well, like I said, it's one of those things where, to me, a lot of people do not know all the information I explained today. And I think it's essential to recognize what the truth is and not just try to offer explanations for somebody to stay back. You gotta put your mask on, you gotta get a vaccine, you know. As a holistic person who has hardly ever seen a doctor in 30 years, I feel like I have a little bit of weight saying a lot of things medically about the human body. Even with all the vices I have in my life. So, do you work out?
I do, yeah. I love to work out. I love movement. It's like in my DNA. I love to dance. I love, you know, running, lifting weights. I love being active.
Nice. You know how to do the rap? You know how to rap?
don't know how to rap. Like yeah. You want me to like spit some bars right now? No, I don't know how to rap. You cannot ask me to rap.
All right. Well, we'd like to thank Diva for joining us on the Burrito Radio Show. It's been an interesting talking to our what I call our spiritual energy representative that went through the COVID thing, just turning 21. Do you go out much at all, dancing or anything like that to the clubs?
No, I don't. I'm not really one to like go out and do all that. I mean, on occasion, you know, but it's not really my thing.
I got you. And so hopefully we can have her back, or maybe possibly she can be a host and take over my job and try to get this Burrito Radio Show really cracking. Real quick, have you ever had a burrito before?
Of course. What kind of question is that? We were in San Diego.
Real quick, what are your top three burrito places that you recommend?
Oof, okay, that's hard. So I am now vegan, and I have been vegan for about 2 years, and I have been no meat for about 3 or 4 years. So I will say, in Lemon Grove, before I was no meat and, you know, not vegan, there is a taco shop. It's called Rosarito's Number 7. It's between Lemon Grove and Spring Valley. So bomb. Their goodness out of there is delicious. But now that I'm vegan, I like to go to Whitaker's over in Ocean Beach. It's right by the beach. You can literally walk there. It's like a 15-minute walk. And they have all vegan Mexican food. Their burritos and their carne asada fries are delicious. So
I have to tell that to my vegan friends. What about number three?
Number three, I love to cook, so I'll just make myself a burrito.
I gotta try one of your burritos then. I gotta try one of your burritos. I'll give you $4 for it.
Oh no, sweetheart, don't worry about it. I'll cook you up a vegan burrito. You'll love it.
You got it. Hey Viva, thanks again for joining us on the Burrito Radio Show. It's been a pleasure having what I call a spiritual energy vibration come on and really shell out and be upfront and honest to the people about, you know, about life and the stars and the energy.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, 2B1. It was a pleasure. I had so much fun, and I really hope that I can be back on.
You got it. Hey, y'all, this is 2B1 Energy. We'll catch you next time on the Burrito Radio Show.
It's still one motion, so ride the wave of life.